In April, our good friend Todd Haywood, he reports for the Lansing City Pulse. He submitted a Freedom of Information Act, FOIA request, to the city of Lansing. And in doing so, he was seeking to access the city's databases of all of the properties that are on the tax rolls and identify taxpayers of record on each property. Some of this stems from an earlier time when we had him in studio and we were talking about landlords, and there was a there was some instances here with some big name landlords who perhaps were not quite up to snuff with their rental licenses in the city. And that was all straightened out, at least to some extent, with some of the more prominent names in the group. Then he was wondering, and we were talking about this, how many rental properties are there that are licensed? How many are not licensed in the city? How are they kept up with code compliance? There's a lot of good questions involved. So you want to go into the database. Well, he was supplied with this database, and after many, many hours, and he came up with a few things, and some of those few things, they're not inconsequential. They're in today's edition of the City Pulse. Todd Haywood joins us now. I'm sure I teed that up and skewed something there, and you'll correct me, but good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for having me on. And no, actually, you summed it up pretty clearly and concisely and accurately. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. You're damning with faint praise, and I'll take it here on a Wednesday morning. What did you find with this? You went through trying to do the column comparisons and, in the aggregate here is not easy. But what were you going after?
Well, what we were trying to see is it possible to identify people who have illegal rental properties in the city? And I'll be honest with you, we're still digging through that data. There's, over 46,000 properties that we got data on.
Okay.
And because of technology issues with the city of Lansing, we have to literally go into the city's online property database and hand search each property to be able to evaluate whether it is certified as a rental, if it's not a rental, Look at the taxpayer records, look at if there's a land contract. There's literally a dozen different variables that have to be reviewed for each property. And it takes up to 15 minutes for each property to be properly evaluated for those issues. And the city itself has that same technology obstacle in trying to identify properties. But what we did find is that there are a significant number of properties that are not certified but are identified as rental properties by the city itself. Over almost 60% of the rental properties have some sort of deficiency in relation to our rental certification process.
Would you call them a deficiency, and would you label or characterize that as something that would make the house uninhabitable or just something that needed to be dealt with in terms of coming up to code at some point to face either a fine but maybe not a red tag on the property?
It could be everything from the house is in perfect condition, but because of staffing issues, the code inspectors can't get out there to inspect the property now that it has expired.
Oh, okay.
So there's, right now there's a 6-month backlog in inspections for properties. That doesn't mean the property is dangerous in any way, shape, or form. It just means the city doesn't have the proper staffing to do the inspections.
The city has said before it doesn't have the money necessarily for more code compliance. And then you've heard other people say, well, yeah, maybe we do, but that's been a tug of war too.
That has been a huge fight. In fact, when we went through the budget process earlier this year, there was a move by Councilmember Jessica Yorko to actually increase the number of inspectors, actually to double them. And That was rejected as too expensive, but she was going to pay for it by having, increased fees for inspections and reinspections, which are currently not happening at the rate that they could or should be. Right now we have a total of 8 code inspectors authorized and funded in our budget. Only 7 people are actually employed in those positions. And there's 13,600 and some properties in the city of Lansing identified as rental properties
that you know of in a snapshot on any particular day, and that number can go up and down. Some come in, some drop out. Here's a Hobson's choice for you, Todd. So you go further with this, you get more code compliance, you get people out. The point of your story is, you know, you got some people in poverty, low income, who are living in substandard housing, and they should be treated a little bit better. What happens, though, when a certain number of those get inspected, get red tagged, and those people have to go, and they become the residual consequence and victims of having to find new housing, which may or may not exist?
Yeah, that is certainly a problem, but that's part of what the city needs to be trying to figure out is how do we improve the housing stock in the city of Lansing? You know, we all know that we have an older and aging housing stock,
sure,
and that is going to be a continuing problem. The question is, how do we fix those problems? How do we address those problems in a way that protects low-income folks and at the same time makes sure that they're living in safe environments? And I don't pretend to have the answers to that. I wish I did. I'd probably be a very rich man today if I did.
or even more popular than you already are. Todd Haywood reporting for the City Pulse. He has the cover story on today's edition here on code compliance with renters, and particularly focusing on low-income renters in the city of Lansing. Before we let you go, alternate story that you've covered extensively, Enbridge, and of course the spill in the Kalamazoo River, but turning the attention to the Enbridge pipeline running out of the Straits of Mackinac, and the report by the GOP Attorney General of Michigan, Bill Schuette, suggesting that heavy crude should be banned from flowing through that pipeline. Your initial take?
My initial take is that I think the Attorney General actually did a pretty good job, and I'm not one who often gives Attorney General Bill Schuette a lot of praise, so that's high praise.
To say the very least, yes.
So I was actually pleasantly surprised at the fact that it does look like a fairly even-handed report. Mm-hmm. I am concerned, as the report was, by the way, that Enbridge was not as transparent as they claimed it to be. And I think there's a lot of information missing, just as there was back in 2010. And I think as we began to do the reporting back in 2010, we found that we were being misled by Enbridge. And I worry that is the situation that is occurring with Pipeline 5 under the Straits. And that would be a catastrophic environmental disaster if that line ruptures.
Todd Haywood, a reporter here, he says impact journalist, I would say advocacy journalist, all the way around. He reports for Lansing City Pulse. He has the cover story today and also has done extensive work with the Enbridge issue as well. I might add, he's an award-winning actor. We appreciate you being on our show this morning and look forward to your next foray. Always interesting stuff that the Haywood is working on. Todd, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Dave. I appreciate it.
Then the appreciation is all on our end. This is 1320 WILS.